Welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church in Burlington, North Carolina, featuring expositional Bible teaching by Pastor Greg Barkman. If you'd like to correspond with the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201, or find us on the web at beaconbaptist.com. BeaconBaptist.com. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. Now, with today's message from God's Word, here is Greg Barkman.
Amazing Grace. Well, having completed our exposition of the little book of Obadiah, we have started now drawing a few lessons and applications from it. Certainly not all that could be drawn, but I thought it might be worthwhile to do this as we wrap up our study of this book, which is one chapter long and 21 verses long, and is the shortest book in the Old Testament, and is therefore often overlooked, buried in the Old Testament scriptures among the minor prophets, between the book of Amos, 9 chapters, and the book of Jonah, 4 chapters. You find this little book of Obadiah, one chapter, but it is an important book that ought not to be overlooked. And so I hope if you've been following the Beacon Broadcast that you have a whole lot more understanding of the book of Obadiah than you did a few broadcasts ago before we started this study. But again, we want to draw a few more applications before we lay it aside and move on to study another book in God's holy word. So thank you for joining me on this Wednesday, May 20, and thank you for your financial gifts, which make it possible for us to continue teaching God's word on this station. Well, what do we learn from the book of Obadiah? Yesterday, we learned that the book of Obadiah reinforces our confidence in the trustworthiness of Scripture. Because of the prophecies of judgment that Obadiah spoke on behalf of God to the nation of Edom, and they came to pass over the course of time, over the course actually of several centuries, they all came to pass, every one of them, until the judgment God pronounced was carried out, and everyone can see that that's exactly what took place, and Edom was, in fact, cut off forever, and you can't locate an Edomite today, I don't think. I've never heard anybody who could, exactly as God said. And so that reinforces the trustworthiness of Scripture to my mind, and I think it should to yours as well. It's just one additional evidence in the midst of hundreds of evidences in the Bible that the Bible is no ordinary book. It is what it claims to be. It is the Word of the living God. It is God revealing himself to us. It's God revealing his ways to us. It's God revealing the principles by which he operates in this world and by which he deals with humanity in this world. And therefore, we need to pay very close attention to what it says. But what else? Well, a second lesson from this book is the obligations of brotherhood. The book emphasizes the relationship between Edom and Israel, and it describes that relationship in terms of a brotherhood. We read in verse 10, in pronouncing this judgment upon Edom, "For violence against your brother Jacob, shame shall cover you, and you shall be cut off forever." And in verse 12, "But you should not have gazed on the day of your brother in the day of his captivity, nor should you have rejoiced over the children of Judah in the day of their destruction." Brother, brother, it's a key word in this book, and it's a key relationship in this book. And this is why Israel's, or rather Edom's, treatment of Israel was so terribly, terribly wrong. The history of the world is a history of nation rising up against nation and kingdom against kingdom, and that will continue until the Lord returns, right? The Bible so tells us. That's what we should expect. There shall be wars and rumors of wars, and nation shall rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom until finally the day comes when King Jesus shall come, and the kingdoms of this world shall be the kingdoms of our Lord and of our Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. But until that comes, we are to anticipate, we are to expect this kind of warfare between the nations of the world. That is one of the evidences that we are living in a fallen world. That is one of the evidences that nothing can fix this world and its sinful condition except Jesus Christ. And it will only be his righteous rule that will put an end to these things. So why should we be so concerned about the nation of Edom entering into warfare against the nation of Israel? That's just the way it is. But we can see that God considers Edom's treatment of Israel as being a particularly heinous offense. And it was a more serious offense because it was a betrayal of brotherhood. We could call it the sin of unbrotherliness. Those who should have maintained and honored and acted in terms of brotherliness instead acted in such an unbrotherly fashion, and Edom in particular went to the extreme of actually committing violence against her brother. And that's the problem. There are certain expectations that the Bible gives us in regard to brotherhood. And brotherhood is a relationship that ought to be honored. God expects it to be. Let me read the words of Deuteronomy chapter 23 and verse 7. And here's what we read. You shall not abhor, this is God speaking to Israel, you shall not abhor an Edomite. Edomite? Oh, that's what we're talking about in the book of Obadiah. You shall not abhor an Edomite, for he is your brother. You shall not abhor an Egyptian, because you are an alien in his land. You see, there's some special relationships, some special obligations that God expects to be honored. And God told his people, Israel, you shall not treat Edom like an alien, like an enemy, like a stranger. You shall treat Edom like a brother. It's a relationship of brotherhood that ought to be honored, a relationship, therefore, that ought to be defended, an obligation that requires certain expectations and actions on your part. God does expect brothers to look out for one another. God does expect brothers to be their brother's keepers. And Edom violated the obligations of brotherhood. And Obadiah is a catalog of Edom's violations of this brotherhood relationship. And Edom's judgment, therefore, is recorded as a warning to us not to violate the obligations of brotherhood. That is a serious offense. We know that sin is sin, and it's often said that any one sin is not any more serious than another sin, and I suppose in some respects that's true, at least in the respect that the Bible tells us in the book of James, if you have sinned against one obligation of the law, you have broken it all. You've sinned against it all. But we find indications through Scripture that there are some sins that God judges more harshly than others, and this is one of them. A failure to maintain the obligations of brotherhood. Now, why is that so important? Well, because there's a parallel in the New Testament, namely what the Bible teaches us about our Christian brotherhood, what God expects of us as Christians toward other believers. Let me read from 1 John 4:7-11. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone who loves is born of God. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love. In this the love of God was manifested toward us, that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. Who are the one another's? Our brothers in Christ. That's who. Verse 20 of this same chapter. If someone says, I love God and hates his brother, he is a liar. For he who does not love his brother, whom he has seen, how can he love God, whom he has not seen? And this commandment we have from him, that he who loves God must love his brother also. Do you understand? Do you understand that the New Testament requires certain attitudes and actions from every Christian in his relationship with other Christians? God expects Christians to manifest a special love for their brothers and sisters in Christ. This is their closest relationship on earth, even closer than the relationship to father, mother, brother, sister, son, or daughter, as Christ said several places in the Gospels. And a failure, therefore, to honor Christian brotherhood as a special God-ordained relationship and obligation is a serious sin against God. We tend to look at the biggies when it comes to sin as things like murder and sexual immorality, and the more sordid the form of sexual immorality, the worse sin we consider it to be. In our day and time, there are even some forms of what God calls fornication and adultery that are not considered to be all that serious, but there are other sins, sexual sins, that are even in our promiscuous day considered to be very serious, such as sexually molesting a child, a minor, or violence in raping someone and so forth. Yes, we consider those the biggies, and we consider murder a biggie, and we consider other sins perhaps to be biggies, but just failing to fulfill an obligation to a brother in Christ, failing to treat them in a special relationship, that's no biggie in our minds. That may be a minor failure, but we consider that to be minor. Let us learn from the book of Obadiah that God doesn't consider that to be minor. Failure to honor the Christian brotherhood as a special God-ordained relationship is a serious sin against God as well as against our Christian brother. How do I know that? Because God says so in the New Testament. But how do I know that? Because of the book of Obadiah and how severely God judged Edom for their unbrotherly conduct toward Israel. Listen, learn, and take heed. Until tomorrow, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you his eternal peace.